Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Welcome to the Theater Podcast, intimate personal conversations with the industry's biggest names. I'm your host, Alan Seals. And the guest today is Antonio Cipriano. He was a 2017 Jimmy Award finalist who recently made his Broadway debut in Jagged Little Pill. He's one of the leads in this amazing new studio cast album called In the Light, A Faustian Tale, which is the brainchild of composer, lyricist Michael Mott. Antonio Tones, Tony, whatever you want to call him, we got into lots of names. Super down-to-earth guy, just so much fun dealing with his own version of imposter syndrome now because he's still a young guy who's now on Broadway, working with these legends that have inspired him when he was younger, and now he's paying it forward, trying to figure out how to continue and inspire people that are looking up to him and younger than him, asking how he did it, where he came from. Just an incredibly, incredibly nice guy and very shy. I love it when these big Broadway names are just totally shy and reserved people because they come out of their shell a little bit in these intimate interviews. So, Antonio, thank you so much for being who you are. Before we get into the interview, find me online on Instagram and Twitter at @theater_podcast or on Facebook at @officialtheaterpodcast. Show your support for the podcast at ttp.fm/Patreon, P-A-T-R-E-O-N. Please leave a rating and a review wherever you are listening now. And everybody, please now enjoy this episode with Antonio Cipriano.
Here you go. 1, 2, 3.
My guest today is a 2017 Jimmy Award finalist who recently made his Broadway debut in Jagged Little Pill. He is one of the leads in the amazing new studio cast album called In the Light, A Faustian Tale, which is the brainchild of Michael Mott, a longtime friend of mine. I'm so happy to see him reaching the success that he so well deserves. And now, Antonio Cipriano, welcome to the Theater Podcast.
Thank you so much for having me, man. I appreciate it. I'm so excited to talk a little bit. It'll be great.
No problem. No problem. I love that, you know, researching for this episode and looking you up. And of course, I saw you in Jagged Little Pill. Loved that show. Cannot wait for it to come back. But you were Jimmy Award finalist 2017, and then just like jump into Jagged Little Pill, and I'm sure you're thinking like, awesome, this is great, my career is about to take off, everything's going exactly how I want it, and then COVID and shut down.
Yeah, it was a very, very interesting situation that happened. I got so extremely lucky, and I was blessed to have something right out of school. You know, that's not like a thing that happens a lot. So it was like a really great opportunity. And I was actually with the show for, I'd say, about 3 years before we even shut. So like, I was with the show for a while, since I was 17 years old. And 4 months into our run, everything just came to a screeching halt. Like really fast. And, you know, it's been an interesting year and a half, but it has been, you know, there are a ton of silver linings throughout the entire year that I've had to kind of look inside myself and be like, okay, you grew from this. This was good for you. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's not all bad, but, it definitely was a learning curve. There were some things that were not all peaches in green, you know. It was a little bit of a difficult year, but
you found early success, which a lot of people, like you said, out of college, out of school, it's very, very not out of college, sorry, out of high school. Out of high school is out of college is rare. Out of high school is even, oh my God, even that more rare. So obviously, it sounds like you don't take that for granted. And I want to get into your past and how hard you fought. We'll get into that stuff. But did you have any moment during the shutdown where you're like, maybe I'll do something else. This is just really weird. I don't know if this is coming back. This is ridiculous.
Yeah. So at the beginning, I was like, okay, we'll be back and everything's going to be fine. Like, oh, it'll be a month. I'm actually kind of grateful that we get this month to kind of relax and like take a breather, because we had just gone through previews. We had just opened, like we were working all the time. So it was kind of nice to have that breather. But it was actually like, I would say probably 2 months ago, I was thinking, I was like, okay, do I just want to like be a professional golfer or something? Like, let me, like, because like during COVID, I had so much time and like the only thing that was open for a while was golf courses. So I played golf my whole life just for fun with my family. And we started going all the time and I just fell in love with it. And I was like, do I want to do that instead? I mean, I'm definitely not like that good, but you know, it was just something that I love and it was the thing that I could do during COVID. And there wasn't a lot of performance opportunities. So I was just like, it wasn't like 100% serious. It was more of just like why don't I just do this? Because nothing is happening right now. But luckily, you know, things are starting to come back. The world is starting to feel normal a little bit again, which is amazing. I didn't even think that was like a possible thing. At certain points, I was like, are we ever going to get back to normality? You know, it didn't feel like that was even a possibility. So it's cool to see some light at the end of the tunnel, for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree. It was such an adjustment to not be going out and seeing shows and not be hanging out with friends and not be doing this. And then now that we're able to again, I'm looking around and just kind of a little bit scared. And it's like, I want to hug everyone, but I can't obviously you don't know what everybody's comfortability level is with all of the, you know, everything going on, but it's kind of a little bit nuts. But I'm going to bring this to in the light, because the album was just released as we record this a week or two ago in its full length, right? And when were you involved with the recording? And I guess there was readings beforehand, and this is a bit unusual in that a full studio album, a full cast album, was made before the show's ever been really put on its legs in front of an audience.
Yeah, so I'm trying to remember like the exact time that I started working with Michael. Because it was before, I did like some sort of, okay, I started out doing In the Light, like April of 2019, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And I did one of the first workshops that they did on the show. I think they did a few before. Like, I mean, this has been Michael's thing since college. Like, this has been an idea for so long. But I did the first workshop, or one of the first workshops, and then we did like a recording of a few songs a few months after that in the summer of 2019. And then Michael started, you know, like over the past year before COVID and then during COVID, he's been raising money to get like a huge studio album and like had a freaking orchestra in Vienna. Like, what? Like, it's incredible how it all came together. But I recorded all of my stuff remotely. I was living in LA at the time and he had a friend out there and I went over to his house and we were all COVID safe. But he had an in-home studio and we just recorded all of my stuff there. And it was, and believe it or not, this is the second time that I recorded an album remotely during COVID. So it's like, I guess, just the new norm. I can't wait till I can be in a studio with people again. It'd be great. I would love that. But it's really cool how it all came together and like how many people, where everyone filmed and recorded and stuff like that is really, really awesome, like all around the world.
I was going to ask about the timing of that, because I saw on the Instagram account for the show, it's showing a lot of behind the scenes and getting into the studio, and it looked like that it was during COVID that people sort of got together recently, right, when everybody was starting to get vaccinated and everything. So, so the music itself, like everything was remote. It didn't even occur to me that that was, I guess, available. I guess it was kind of the only option at the time.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah. So but the album though, I guess you said what, April 2019. Yeah. I know Michael's been working on it for a pretty long time. I remember, seeing posts about it from his years and years and years ago, but how did you get involved in the first place? Was it just an open call or did you know Michael through some other means?
So I believe the first time Michael and I talked was on Instagram DM. And I'm pretty sure he direct messaged me. And I can't remember what he said. I think like the first time was like, hey, I have this thing, would love for you to be a part of it. And I was like, oh, amazing. This is awesome. And he was like, Jeremy Jordan's in it. I was like, oh my God, I look up to that guy. Holy crap, this is crazy. And just went from there. I don't, like, the timeline is so screwed up in my head right now. Like, I don't remember anything. It's because, like, we lost a whole year. So it's kind of weird to recall. Like, that happened, like, 2 years ago at this point. And I can't even, like, wrap my head around that.
Yeah, the rest of the cast, Jeremy Jordan, Sierra Renee, like all these folks. I was going to ask you about that too, because these are people that have been established in the industry that I feel like that I've heard from people in similar situations of yours of as younger children or even at your age now, they're looking up to their people, and now you're performing alongside them. Have you actually met any of them in person yet? Have you been able to?
Yeah, so I did the workshop with Jeremy in 2019.
Great.
That was really cool. And I'm not going to do any spoilers, but there, like, we have a very intense moment in the show together. And it was very, very cool to do that with him because, like, if he listens to this, he's going to be like, oh, such a weird kid. But, like, I remember, like, he was one of the first Broadway people that I ever, like, discovered, like, ever knew about Broadway. Like, him and, like, Aaron Tveit were, like, the guys that I was like, holy crap. But, yeah, it was really, really, really great to work with him. I have not met Sierra, but I worked with Saleha as well. We worked together on a little workshop together in summer of 2019. And she is the best. I love her. She's so much fun.
Pfeiffer, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's an amazing cast, and the music is incredible. I was looking at the comments in the music video for Tomorrow Begins Today is the music video that just came out. And the comments, I love it when people are discovering music that speaks to them for the first time. And, you know, and now social media and YouTube is allowing people to capture these reactions and capture these comments. And just seeing like the amount of joy and the amount of excitement that are coming out of these things. Do you ever look at this? I mean, you're still very young, right? Yeah, compared to me anyway. and looking at where you are now, even having a year missing from your career because of COVID, do you look and see where you are and you're like, I can see myself in these other kids and these kids that are looking up, and like the stage door interactions and the comments and Jagged Little Pill. And I mean, you've got a big social media following, so I'm sure there's a lot of people that reach out for various reasons. And how do you internalize some of that and give back to these people who are following you now, who are looking up to you?
Yeah. It's been a whole surreal thing. And it started sort of when I went to Boston. That was like my first stage door experience. And like, that was crazy. Cause that was like something that I always look forward to, because my first Broadway show, I saw Les Mis, and I saw Ramin come out, and I had been looking up to him for a long time. And I was just like, oh my gosh, this is like life changing. I freaked out. So being able to like have that experience with fans and stuff was amazing. And I look forward to it every single night. And it has been really, really tough with COVID, just like not being able to have really any interaction with the fans. I got Cameo because I was like, I want to like have some sort of connection, but also like I know that all the younger people that were on Broadway, like me, Renee, and like Andrew and Celia, like we all kind of had a group together, and we all loved to talk with our like people on Twitter and stuff. Like we'll always just hang, you know, it's fun. Like we were trying to do it digitally so that we can still have that connection with people, because, you know, I grew up admiring these people, and now it's like really weird to like, you know, be doing the same for some other people. So it's weird, and I'm still getting used to that, and I'm still major fans of like all these people, so it's just like a weird in between moment right now. Mm-hmm. But I still appreciate it, and I love anyone who will love the music that I sing and stuff like that. It's great. It's really awesome, and I so appreciate it.
Do you go through any sort of imposter syndrome? I feel like at your age, it would have been insane for me. I would have either said, I'll back up a second. I think I would have either gone one of two ways. One is just like freaking out anxiety. I don't deserve to be here. Or the complete opposite and like spiraled out of control in an egotistical, a self-serving way where I'm like, of course I'm the best ever. I don't know how I would have gone, but I'm glad I didn't go either of those ways. Do you have people to check you and you're like, look, Antonio, Tone bro, like, hey, listen up, dude. Tones. You're still that little shit from down the block that I grew up with. Don't forget where you came from, right?
1,000%. 1,000%. And you know, it's definitely more than the first thing, the imposter syndrome. Like I'm like, what? Why am like I don't deserve to be here? Are you kidding me? And like if I'm ever asked to do like a workshop or like a Q&A with somebody, I'm like, guys, if you ask me for advice, I'm like a few years older than you. Like I don't have anything on you. Like it literally, I got lucky and I, you know, whatever, it's fine. But like, don't listen to me. It's basically, I'm just like, I don't know. And I feel weird telling you these things because I don't have the right to be like, oh, you should do this. And it's major that all the time. But there is also, you know, I'm definitely, my dad, the number one thing he taught me was always to have humility and be humble, because like if you aren't that, like if you are literally nothing, like you can't, you want to be someone who people want to work with, like don't ever let that go to your head. Be the best, hardest working person in the room. Like that was drilled into me as a young kid and growing up, and like that's something I will always live by. Like I if I ever got like a big head, I would personally punch myself in the face. You know what I'm saying? Like what is the point of that? You know what I'm saying? I wouldn't be able to live with myself if I was like
level
that.
It's a level of confidence, I think, that you have to have to be able to be okay with that, because if you're very braggadocious, I think it's a lot of insecurity, right? You're covering up for that imposter syndrome. Yeah. You're covering up for insecurity, or you need that validation. And actually, I think this is a really good time to talk. Tell me about, you know, how you got into performing and how you grew up too, because it sounds like, you know, your dad very smartly just instilled this value in you of like, treat everybody the same, treat everybody nice, don't have a big head. And the advice that I have heard over and over again that I think, you know, I'll give you this that you can tell to everybody else when they ask you for advice, is be the person that everyone wants to work with the next time.
Yeah. 100%.
And that's what it sounds like you are. And I can sit here and I'm just looking at you and as we're chatting here virtually, and I'm like, I get this good feeling from you that like, you're genuine, you're in the moment and you're listening and you care about being here. And it's not just another, you know, you're not just doing a thing to do a thing because you have to. Like, I don't know. I'm not describing this well, but
I can tell that.
Oh, you're welcome. I can tell the difference, I guess, between somebody who's really in the moment and listening. And I think, I mean, we hear this all the time, right? That more being a good actor is being a good listener. Mm-hmm. And if you're carrying that into your personal life, and that's just who you are, if you're actively listening and actively watching what's going on in the world around you, you're just going to be a better performer.
And I always tell people this when I'm like in a big group or anything. This is something I always tell people because I just realized that I have this like crazy social anxiety that, you know, like a lot of people tend to have. You just kind of shove it to the side. But recently you'll notice if we ever hang out in a big group, I'm usually very quiet, but I always tell people, I'm like, I just want to listen. I love to hear stories. I love listening to people tell great stories. Like, it's my favorite thing to do. I've always been like that. And as you can see, I speak in drafts all the time. Sometimes I just cannot get a complete thought out. Sorry about that. If the editing for this is going to be awful for you, but that's just how I am, and I'm working on it. You know, we all got things we want to work on, but that's like the number. I just love to listen, so I appreciate you saying that. It's like what I do all the time.
Oh, and I don't talk. you're very welcome. So, well, tell me then about how did you grow up? How you grew up in Michigan, I believe, right? And then how did you get into performing?
So I grew up in Michigan. I'm actually here right now. And about when I was 5 years old, there's like video of me just shirtless dancing around the house, singing my ass off, like just crazy. I was a wild child, like insane. And my parents were like, whoa, we need to like do something with this energy. And they submitted me for a summer camp when I was 8 years old. And I did High School Musical. I was Zeke. And I just didn't stop after that. Just kept going. I did community theater. I did high school theater. I did middle school theater. I did the Michigan Opera Theater. I did whatever I could. Just because it was just like, if I wasn't doing two or three shows at a time, like I was like, what am I doing? Like I need to go to school, then I need to go to rehearsal, then I need to go to the other rehearsal, and then I need to go like sleep for a second and then go do it all again. You know, like I just needed to be working all the time. And that's sort of a thing that I went through during COVID. I was like, what am I doing? I'm going crazy right now because I don't have anything to do. So yeah, I was doing so many shows at a time. By the time I was a senior in high school, I had done like 20 shows. Like I just
wow.
was always. And then on top of that, like playing a bunch of sports and stuff, I had to be busy or else I would go crazy.
Are you an only child? Or do you have siblings?
No, I have two siblings. I have an older brother who is, I believe, turning 23 in this month, and a younger sister who is 18. She's 18. Yes.
We're going to take a short break. Stay tuned for more of the episode. Are you sort of the black sheep of the family of being the only one into performing? Or is, I feel like if one kid is into sports heavily, then usually it's a family affair where everyone travels together and they're doing all the stuff. But was it a family thing to get into performing? I guess when you said you're 8, you went to the camp, like you could have gone to a soccer camp. Your parents could have put you in an instrument camp or some, you know, band camp. Like, where did the impetus for theater come in?
So I very much was like the only one, like in the videos when we were kids, like we all loved music. Like it was like, we had our band and everything, you know, how it goes. I was the only one who really did theater religiously. My brother's senior year of high school, and I was a sophomore. When you're a senior, you're kind of like, I'm going to try this new thing. So, you know, he he bought a ukulele and started learning the ukulele. And he did, we did Grease together. I was Danny and he was Kaneki, and it was the best thing ever. And my sister danced her whole life until like eighth grade. So yeah, we were a performing family, but like I was the one who was like doing it all the time. Yeah. And also I got very lucky, you know, I also did like travel baseball and like all this stuff. Cause my brother also did all that stuff. And my sister played volleyball, softball. Like we were very well-rounded children, brought up nice, you know? So yeah, I was very lucky to be able to do a bunch of different things growing up.
I don't know how you got any schoolwork done because I've
You know what? That's a very good question. I didn't. I was not a good student. That was one thing And you know what? I feel like if I really tried in school, I would have been okay. But like I had no urge to want to go to school. Like it was not my thing at all. But everyone's different, you know. It just wasn't for me, and that's okay. I did
theater in chorus in like middle school, high school, yeah. and even into college too. I didn't go to college for theater, but I still did it. And I also did travel. I did some travel baseball in middle school and travel soccer when I was in high school. And there's absolutely no way I could have done both theater and travel any sport at the same time and maintain my sanity. So my hat goes off to you, sir.
Thank you. Yeah, it was crazy. It was crazy. But I just loved it. Because I loved baseball and I loved theater like equally. So like they were two huge things in my life and I wanted to do it all. So it actually helped me because it took up all my time and that was amazing. Because that's what I needed to stay sane.
Do you think that has any reflection on what you said a second ago about, you know, this newly discovered social anxiety, that staying home, not being busy, allowed your mind to go inside itself and staying busy kept you distracted?
Oh, yeah. Oh, my gosh. The things I have discovered about myself this year is insane. I'm a completely different person than a year and a half ago.
Really?
Completely. Oh, yeah. I'm honestly a different person than I was a month ago. I change all the time at this point. Like I'm just like constantly looking inside myself. And like, so I lived in California. I lived in LA, for about 10 months. I still live out there. But, earlier this month in June, I went back to New York for like the first time in a very long time. And I didn't realize how much I missed it, but I like fell in love again with New York. Like I love it. But I stay with my friend in Weehawken, New Jersey, which is right across the river. And the view of the city from there, I'm telling you, if I ever go back, I'm going to Weehawken. Like, done deal. The most beautiful view of the city anyone could ever have. You know, there's like a walk across the river that you can do. And I just started like, you know, really internalizing and like looking inside myself and everything. And I'm just like, wow, you know, everything in life is a construct. And it's like, what was I chasing that made me so sad during this year because I wasn't doing anything, you know, like everything, the reason I was so like at such a low was because I was chasing this idea of like, oh, you know, my career isn't where I want it to be right now and stuff like that. It's like calm down for a second and look at what you have done and like appreciate the things that come your way. You know, like there were times when I was working and like I would not appreciate something that I would very much appreciate at this point. Like a smaller thing, whatever. You know, you just it made me look at things differently. And I'm so much happier and appreciative of everything in life now. I'm trying to just look at things differently because if you don't, at this point, it's just too much. You know what I'm saying? Like, do you feel that at all? Like, if I made any sense there, if I didn't, just let me know, and you can cut all of that spiel out. Whatever
please,
I just said.
Please, we are keeping that in. You made lots and lots of sense, and I want to let you know that you have permission to dive further into that thought process, because you are already light years beyond people who will never get to the level of introspection and self-actualization that you have. But once you sort of, and speaking from experience too, that once you sort of start peeling back the layers, when you're willing to be vulnerable and be honest with yourself, mm-hmm. that you're just, the farther you go and the more that you accept your differences and the lows with the highs, the more you're going to mm-hmm. be happy in general. Because you need to have that perspective. You don't know you've been hot unless you've been cold. You don't know you're exactly. in unless you've been out. You don't know right. you're successful unless you haven't been. So
right.
you've got to have both sides of that equation so that you can know when things are really going well.
Exactly. You have to have the yin and yang to appreciate anything in life. So, and I talked to... I can't remember exactly like what he said, but my buddy Simon Longnight, he's like my, I hope he listens to this. He's my like unpaid life coach basically and therapist and everything. And he always says the most wise things. And I'm like, God, you're so amazing. And you're like helping me so much. He was talking about yin and yang and like how you can't have one thing without the other. You can't appreciate one thing without the other. Literally just mm-hmm. what you said. Like, it's so true. And I had to realize, like, as we were talking about, I had a lot of success early on. There wasn't a lot of like trouble that I went through. And I have to look at this year as, you know, I have to appreciate that time that I did not have anything and it made me grow from that experience. And I have a whole new way of looking at life. And I'm very grateful for this time. And I told myself during COVID when I was like really at a low, I was like, I'm going to be grateful for this time. I'm going to be like happy that this happened. It was hard, but I, you know, we're still in it, but I'm able to look on the other side of it now and just be like, okay, glad this happened. Now let's move on and change my view on life. And it's great.
I want to go back to the Jimmy Awards, because I just realized I have no idea how people are found and nominated.
I can tell you the whole process.
Please,
I got you.
Please.
So basically, high schools around the country do their show. And then there are regional programs. So like there was one in Michigan. There's one in most states. I don't know, like, I don't think every state is a part of it yet, but they will at some point because it's just keeps growing every year. There's adjudicators that come to your show. They pick the best actor and best actress, and they can make it to the, mine was the Sutton Foster Ovation Awards in Michigan. There's like wherever around in the country that you're at, and you get nominated, you go, it's like a weekend competition thing. And you, it's basically the Jimmys on a smaller scale. And then the winners of that, best actor and best actress, go on to the Jimmy Awards.
Oh, and, so it's not like they're pulling, it's not like they're, I guess I was going to say, they're not like they're judging you within the show, because now as soon as I said that, I realized why, because all different high schools have different budgets, have different casts, have different everything.
Yeah.
So you can't, it's not apples to apples like two shows on Broadway.
Oh, no.
One high school in the middle of nowhere is not going to be able to compete with the production value of a high school in the middle of, a major, a more affluent right. neighborhood, right?
So, it very much takes you out of the show and it's your individual self, which is cool.
Yeah, that is really cool. And the people that you have met through that process, I mean, you've mentioned mm-hmm. Renee and Andrew Barth Feldman and the people that you have met, I feel like that's sort of that's a bond. It's because cast is family. I say this all the time in the podcast.
100%.
That you know, your Broadway cast, even your show cast, whatever show you're in, you're going through the rehearsal process. You're going through the ups, the highs and the lows of putting a show on its feet. And you're going through this and it's your chosen family. And then the Jimmy Awards, everybody that's come through there, it seems like everyone I've talked to that's been a Jimmy Award finalist has just been one of the nicest, most down-to-earth, amazing people I've ever had the pleasure of talking with. I've never gotten the big head vibe off of somebody who's gone through the Jimmy Awards process. Like, what is it about this whole process for you?
At the Jimmys, it's like pretty much everyone's first experience in something like that, because we're all in high school. Like, we don't have that experience yet. So we all experience like walking out onto a Broadway stage for the first time and like that whole experience and performing on Broadway. Like, it's a whole crazy experience, and all of these newcomers are going through this. Like, there is no... like any person who's like jaded from the business already, you know what I'm saying? Like, we're all fresh, you know? And you really have a very deep bond with everyone that you go through that experience with. Like, my entire, like, my medley group, we're bros. It's great. We have a good time, you know? Like, and I can't wait for like a reunion at some point, because I haven't seen most of them in 4 years. Which is insane. Oh my God, that just blew my mind. But yeah, like we all go through a pretty incredible experience in like the span of 1 week. Like it's very short but intense and amazing, and it's such an incredible experience. I love the Jimmys, and it changed my life really quick.
Well, you just like gave that. Me a great idea for my next live event. I just did my 150th episode live with the cast of The Prom.
And, oh my gosh!
To celebrate Pride, and so now I think the next live event should be like the Jim Union live event, where we get you and all the and Andrew Barth Feldman and Renee and a bunch of others together for the first time in years and have this great live event. But it's got to be in person though. That's the catch. Yeah. We'll get tickets there. We'll get a venue and sell tickets, and it'll be the whole thing. Okay, that's our plan. We'll do that. That'll be our side project.
Yeah.
Wonderful. I want to wrap up with the three standard closing questions that I ask everybody, and the very first one, very simply, is just what motivates you.
What motivates me? A great question. Wow. I think you know we kind of talked about all of them throughout this conversation, not an interview. We're just hanging out. Obviously unspoken, like the fans of shows and like the people who support you, like that is so motivating. And like, I want to, you know, inspire people. I want to let people know that like, I love them and show appreciation for them for showing appreciation for me. So that totally motivates me. Another thing is, you know, I haven't thought about this till now, but like going through what I just went through in the year and a half, like what most people did go through, I think a motivation of like, I guess like not wanting that feeling again, I guess. But also now that I think about it, that's probably not right, because I so appreciated having that experience at this point.
That's the yin and the yang again.
It is. It very much is. And you know what? Scratch that. That's not true. you know, like you have to have those moments. Like it happened.
All right. So the next question then is, this is what you said earlier that you actually don't like to answer. So you can actually use something that we've already talked about, but what advice would you give to your younger self and younger people now starting out down a similar path? This is a standard question I ask everyone. So I have to ask it.
Yeah. It's a question that I always am like, all right, let me take this advice myself, because I still need to take advice from people. Like it's very much just an ever learning process. I think in my last month, I like the realization that like, it's not that deep. nothing is that deep. Like, don't take life too seriously. Seize every opportunity, big or small, and just have a deeper appreciation for the little things, you know, after going through a year that we've all had.
Mm-hmm.
Just realizing that it's going to be okay, and try to look on the brighter side of every situation, because if you always constantly focus on the negative, that's just how life is going to be. And you don't want that. It's so much easier to go through life with a lighter heart.
Yes. All right. You know, so the last question. Oh, absolutely. Last question. Yeah. This one's super hard. If you could only see one show for the rest of your life, but you can see it as many times as you want, what would you see?
Les Mis.
Well, that was easy.
1,000%. 1,000%. With Remy. And I would like to be in the show as well. Because I love the show.
Such a great guy.
Yeah. Les Mis was my first Broadway show, my favorite show I ever did. I did it at a community theater when I was like 12. Just a masterpiece. And I could sing the entire score. I do it in the shower all the time. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's just...
That's a long shower.
It is a long shower, and it usually gets cold by the end.
A 3-hour shower every day.
Yeah. 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 Great. Great. Really clean yourself.
Where can we find you on social media?
You can find me... Oh, my God. I got to memorize my username. My Instagram is AntonioCipriano_. And my Twitter is AntonioCip_. And my TikTok, because I'm figuring that out as well, is also AntonioCipriano_.
Oh, you made me feel better that you're still figuring it out, because I'm still figuring it out. And
no, I don't know what I'm doing on that app. It's, some people are so good at it, and it's so intimidating. Like, how do you do that? It's like, it's very hard. Like, it's not an easy thing.
It's finding the time, because I realize that I can go through and I know where the filters are, and I know, like, you have to think ahead about this. You have to know enough about how you can do things to then go out and film them and then come back and edit them. And I edit with traditional, you know, Final Cut and After Effects and all the normal things that people edit on computers on. But to have all this crap in your pocket now, I'm just like, to only be able to use two thumbs to do all this instead of a full keyboard, it drives me insane. But but that's just me sounding like an old man. Get off my lawn.
No, you're not. Honestly, you're further than me, because I don't know any. I can't find any of the effects. I don't know where I'm going. Like, I don't know. How do these people do all this stuff? It's incredible, honestly. It's kind of embarrassing that I don't know what I'm doing, but I guess... But you go through it together.
Yin and yang. How many people who are great at TikTok?
Absolutely.
How many people who are great at TikTok look at you and say, I don't know how he is that good at singing, and I don't know how he can perform 8 nights a week and be as perfect as he is. Like,
Thank you.
So everybody's got their strengths. All right, you get more of me at thetheaterpodcast.com. Show your support at thetheaterpodcast.com/Patreon. I'm on Instagram and Twitter at theater_podcast, on facebook.com/officialtheaterpodcast. Leave a rating review wherever you're listening now. This has been edited by well-rounded Hoodlum Productions. Thank you to Jukebox the Ghost for the intro and outro music, and Antonio Tones. Tony, thank you so much. This has been such a great conversation.
Thank you, man. I appreciate it. This is awesome.
Yeah, anytime. And it's not if we hang out.
It's when we hang out. 1,000%. I cannot wait.
Take a deep breath, make the world a little colorful.
Hey, it's Leslie Odom Jr. here on the Broadway Podcast Network to tell you about the RISE Theater Directory, a program of Maestro Music. RISE is a national online resource designed to connect and empower backstage and administrative and creative theater professionals from underrepresented backgrounds. If you work or aspire to work in the theater community, this can help you find your next project. And if you hire theater professionals, search the RISE Theater Directory to find your next team. Create your profile now and get more information by visiting risetheater.org. That's theater with an RERISETHEATRE.org, because only together we rise.